Well, about a month ago, I had to call our insurance company because I had a couple questions about coverage and different things like that. And for any of you that have had to call corporate insurance company or maybe a corporate bank or whatever, you know that this is something that is about as fun to do as like getting a root canal, because it absolutely takes forever to actually get a hold of somebody. And so that was the case for me. I spent, you know, probably at least a half hour on the phone in this menu and that menu, chose the wrong menu, went back to the main menu, tried to bypass the menu, which took me back to the main menu. And then finally, again, like after 15 minutes or so, finally, I got someone on the line that was a real person. And as she sort of introduced herself, I forget what her name was, but she said that she was this, a customer service representative. Now, question for you. How would you describe the purpose of a customer service representative? I don't think it's actually that difficult, right? It's actually in the word, right? A customer service representative is there to give service to the customer. Well, after just asking her a couple quick questions, I found out that customer service was going to be a little bit hard to come by on that particular day. In fact, what I kind of felt like, remember, I'm the customer calling just to get a couple questions answered. I felt like, have you ever called someone like while they were eating dinner? And you feel like, you know, I'm bothering this person, and so I'm just kind of annoying them. And yet, her purpose was a customer service representative, and yet I feel like a telemarketer or something calling over dinner. And I don't want to be, you know, too hard on her, because it's something good to remember. As you interact with people, and maybe they're not always as lovely as you'd like them to be, we all at times are going through things that, you know, other people know nothing about, and to have grace in those situations is a good thing. And that's what I tried to do as well. But what I did recognize, at least on that particular day, that this customer service representative had kind of, well, in a big way, forgotten her purpose. She'd forgotten who she was, at least at work. And the thing is that purpose in life isn't just something that's important for us to think about and to recognize if you're a customer service representative. It's something that all of us need to think about, because understanding purpose, I mean, to be honest, it changes your focus and your view every single day of your life. In fact, on the flip side of that, I would say this, that people struggle when they don't have a clear sense of purpose. I have a dear friend of mine at North Cross. Her name is Blanche, and she is in her late 80s, and she has a whole bunch of different, very difficult health concerns right now. She now lives by herself. She doesn't have any children or anything. And it's understandable that in some ways, she has felt that she spends most of the last 2 years since COVID being by herself, feeling a little bit like she's lacking purpose. And it's been really hard on her. Maybe some of you are on the other end of the life spectrum, and you're in your 20s, let's say, and you still haven't really found your career direction. This can be a season when people tend to, I don't know, even get a little bit down and depressed because they haven't yet found what they feel is their purpose. Or maybe you're middle-aged, and a lot of times as maybe someone loses a job or enters that season where you've heard the term midlife crisis, a lot of that has to do with, am I fulfilling a purpose, and not just a purpose, but a purpose that makes a difference, a purpose that really counts. The flip side of people struggle when they don't have a clear sense of purpose is this: a clear sense of purpose has the power to transform your life. And here's the thing, God has created all of us with this inner desire to not just go through life, but as our theme for the day says, with this desire that my my life would count, that I would use the years I have, whether that's 20, whether we live to be in our 90s or older, that my life would be used to make a difference. This is how God has wired us. There's something in us that desires to not just go through life, but to make a difference with our lives. And this is what we want to talk about today. And what we're going to find is not just that you have a purpose, because you do, but that the purpose that you have is one of great significance. The purpose that God has given to you is one that, I mean, there's nothing more fulfilling or better than the primary purpose that God has given you. The section of the Bible that we're going to be taking a look at is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 5. One kind of unique thing, if you were to read through all the chapters, there's three chapters for the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, is that you'll notice that this sermon really wasn't written with the point of telling people how they're saved or how they're forgiven. Instead, Jesus, well, he talks more in this sermon about after you've been forgiven, after you understand who Jesus is, what does the Christian life look like? And in the midst of that, he has this statement that will get us to the purpose. In Matthew 5, he says this: "You are the light of the world." This is not something that you like choose. This is not something that as a Christian that you would hope to someday become. He says that if you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus, if you consider yourself to be a child of your heavenly Father through faith in Jesus, then you are the light of the entire world. And I want you to just for a moment understand a little bit about the people that Jesus was talking to on that day 2,000 years ago. It was a group of Galileans. There's nothing wrong with being a Galilean, okay? But here's the reality about people from Galilee. From a worldly perspective, they weren't much. They weren't rich. They weren't powerful. They didn't have a lot of prestige. And this time, 2,000 years ago, essentially, they were under the thumb of the Roman government. They really did not have a lot going for them. And I can just imagine, and maybe it's the same for you 2,000 years later, sitting in a church in Excelsior, feeling this way in a big world, like, really? This is what the Galileans might have been thinking. Really? We are the light of the entire world? Are you sure, Jesus? How can I be the light of the world? That doesn't even make sense. They weren't special in a worldly sense. So how does this happen? That they would become lights, even for the entire world? Well, let's imagine that you're on a camping trip. And let's say that you went hiking kind of towards the end of the daylight hours, and you went and traveled and hiked a little bit further than you thought, so you didn't get back to the campsite before the sun went down, and now it's dark. And let's say we're camping together, and I'm like, hey, nothing to worry about. I have something I can help in my backpack, and I pull this out. Now, we're headed in the right direction with a light bulb, but as you know, a light bulb on its own is not going to do any good at all. It needs to be connected to something, right? It needs to be connected. It has the potential for light, but it's not light on its own. If you're remodeling your kitchen and want to save some money, you would never just go buy light bulbs and tape them to the ceiling. It's not going to do anything. It needs to be connected to a source. It needs to be connected to a lamp. A bulb has no light by itself. So with that in mind, Listen to what Jesus says in John 8. This is Jesus. He says, I am the light of the world. So what is it? Is Jesus the light? Are we the light? Are the Galileans the light? Okay, what is it? And the answer is yes. Maybe this will help you understand a little bit. I love what Paul writes here to the Ephesians in this context. He writes, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. There was nothing special about the Galileans. They were just people, nothing special on their own. There's nothing special about me on my own. There's nothing special about us on our own. We get this tremendous purpose. We get this light, Paul writes, as we get connected to the Lord, as we are light in the Lord. And as I mentioned before, this is an imagery that we see all throughout Scripture. That before Christ, it was like living in darkness. I remember watching a TV program some years ago. It seemed like every year around Halloween, this program would send a couple of their employees through like one of these scare houses that's totally dark. Maybe even some of you maybe went to Valley Scare or something like that, where you don't know what's around the corner. And it was absolutely hilarious for me watching to see just how scared the person walking through was, because they couldn't see anything. They couldn't see what was behind the corner. Some people would be jumping out at them, and just the reaction was pretty funny from the outside looking in. Certainly not funny for him. That's the way life is, if not for Jesus. Life without Christ is an uneasy experience. Maybe some of you haven't been Christian for your entire adult life, didn't understand the difference that he makes, didn't understand that there's hope and a future for you. You understand what it's like, what Paul talks about, that before Christ, it's like living in darkness. It's an uneasy feeling because everything just seems so random. There is no future. There is no hope without Jesus. Oftentimes, I have an opportunity to speak at funerals, and I often wonder how people endure tragedy or death without understanding that there's hope and a future. It's an uneasy experience, right? But like John wrote before, when Jesus was born, a light came into the world. And not only did this Jesus speak about the light of God, or that he was the light, he became the light for us. He fulfilled, he did the work that he talked about as he went to the cross, died for our sins, gave us forgiveness and heaven through faith in him. And then he lit up our world. I'm not saying that you and I, we understand now how everything works together in this life. I wish I did. But what I do know is I have a God who knows way more than I do, and whom I can trust to know has it all together. You see, all of us were in darkness at one time. All of us were in darkness at one time, but that light has defeated the darkness. I'm going to push on you a little bit as people who know who Jesus is. Do Christians get anxious and worried? Sure. We're not perfect. We don't have perfect trust. But I think that we as Christians, people who are not living in darkness, but live in the light, have the light of Christ, know what the future is for us, I think that we need to grow in being less anxious. We need to grow in being less worried about the future. Can we be concerned? Yes. Do we need to worry? No. You don't live in the darkness anymore. It doesn't mean life is going to be great every day, but it means that you know you have hope and a future. That's what it's like living in the light. It makes all the difference in the world because light has defeated the darkness. So on our own, we don't shine any brighter than a bulb without electricity. But with the light of the world in our lives, changing our lives, changing our futures, well, now he says he has brought us from darkness into light. Jesus has turned your darkness into light. You live in the light. You live with the light. You are the light. As Christians, our hearts and lives have been changed. And along with being a light, we also have tremendous purpose. We have a purpose. Here's what it says as Jesus continues. Remember, he started with this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they take that lamp, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Remember, this is obviously a time before light was so easy to come by. We just flip a switch. They would put a lamp on a stand and it would give some light to the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You're a light. Given that light by Christ, and your purpose is to shine. Paul's like, who would shine a light or put a lamp out and then put a bowl over it? That would be stupid. In the same way, as God has given us not only a changed eternity, but also this purpose, why wouldn't we shine? If you're lights, why wouldn't we shine? We've been given this opportunity. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. It doesn't mean that you have to be an amazing speaker. It doesn't mean that you have to be a singer. It doesn't mean that you have to be eloquent with God's word and in personal conversations. All those things are good things. Here's what Paul wrote, what Jesus said. He says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's unfortunate right now in our country, and maybe this has been this way for a while, but it's becoming more and more clear that the Christian church in our country tends to be known more for what they're against than what they are for. And if you're feeling like some of that is unfair, I tend to agree with you that it tends to be an unfair characterization. But whether we agree with it or not, it's just true in our country, unfortunately. And the reality is that there are some things with our churches or as Christians where we do tend to harp on certain things, and yet maybe they don't see in us what Jesus said would be the primary characterization of Christians. What was that? Do you remember? He said, it is by your love that people will know you. I'm not talking, and Jesus wasn't talking about the kind of love that just lets anything go. No, there is truth. Right? There's truth. But at the very same time, there's a way to share that truth in love. There are other ways to allow people, allow the world to see that we love and that we care for them. I'm going to say it this way. Live in a way that shines a light on the goodness of God. We cannot change our country's perception about Christians as a whole. But what you can do, you can make a difference in the life of the person who lives across the street. You can show the person at work what it looks like to follow Jesus and what it looks like to be a light. You can make a difference in the life of that classmate or that person at school or on the team, whatever it is. There are opportunities all around us to shine a light, on the goodness of God. It's in the things that we post and the things that we don't post. It's in the conversations we have and the conversations we don't have. It's in how we interact at work with grace and forgiveness and love. It's not getting involved in gossip. It's taking time to care for someone who's hurting. I mentioned before that I was at the youth rally this past week. I had this amazing example of this from our young people from North Cross. We were kind of downtown towards, it was around 11 in the evening. We went to get some snacks because teenagers get hungry late at night. And as we were waiting to leave, I was in the van and the group came over, our kids came over and said, "Hey, can we wait for just a little while longer?" I asked them why, and they had mentioned that they had a chance to talk with one of the employees at the McDonald's that they were at, that she mentioned that she had just not too long ago lost her father, and that she had just also lost custody of her child. And instead of just listening to that, they then asked, "Hey, can we pray for you after your shift is over?" And so we waited until 11 when she got off of her shift, and these 10 high school and college teens gathered around her and prayed for her. I don't know what type of faith she has. What I do know is she's never going to forget that night. Or some kids from Minnesota, this was in Tennessee, decided to stick around for an extra 20 minutes just so that they could pray with her and pray for her. Those are the little things that God uses to make a difference. Those are the things that we can look for, the person who is hurting, the person who is going through something where we don't just say, "I'll pray for you," but that we actually pray for them right there in that moment. We don't just say, "Hey, if there's anything I can do, let me know," but that we take a proactive step and we drop a meal off at their house, even if they didn't ask for it, or we help them in ways that we're looking for. So many opportunities we have to shine a light that you and I can be difference makers. We just need to look for those opportunities like those high school kids did. There's also another place where we can shine our lights. It's at your church. There's a unique opportunity at the church you belong to make a difference. You know, it's been over 2 years since like church life kind of got turned on top of its head with COVID and not even being able to meet together, as you know, for some of us for a year or longer. And one of the things that we're finding is that as people are coming back to church, not everyone is. And that as people are coming back to church, their schedules have changed and they kind of like having the weekends a little bit more open, and maybe this is nationally, are not getting as involved as they used to be. You know, it can be easy to watch church, but you are the church. And that's something that every single one of us need to understand. That church is not just something we attend. We are the church. I'm looking at the church. And as the hands and feet of Christ, as the body of Christ, the body doesn't function unless all of the parts are using the gifts that they have in one way or another. And maybe for some of you, maybe it's, this is a good just reminder that we need to get off the stands and get onto the field, that there are gifts that you have that can be used here on a team or with the kids or maybe in some other way. But there is this amazing opportunity to not just attend church or watch church, but what does it look like to be the church? So I've got just two quick things for you to think about with that. One way to be the church that every single one of you can do is to be diligent in inviting people to come with you. I know that there have been a lot of changes that have happened at Faith over the last couple years, at least on a Sunday morning. Maybe you feel it a little bit. And I know that for some of us, that can make us feel a little bit uneasy or maybe just not sure what to think about it. But one of the amazing things that have come out of that is that you have a church that is being very focused and very diligent in being a place where if someone knew nothing about Christ, knew nothing about church, that they would feel welcome and comfortable. You have a church that is being diligent about doing the best that they can to be a place where if you have someone you'd like to invite, that you'd feel comfortable inviting them. And that is an amazing thing. And the church is the church, not just when we attend church, but when we bring someone along with us. Because not only do you need Jesus, people in your life need him too, of course, right? And the other thing to think about, I mentioned it earlier, is joining a team, getting involved. If you're not sure what, ask Pastor Dan. I'm sure he's got an area. Maybe it's the welcome team. Needs more people with a smiling face and just the desire to make this Sunday experience something that people look forward to. Here's what I know. You all have gifts. Jesus calls you a light. And your purpose is not just to exist. It's to shine. I want you to think back as we close to those Galileans that Jesus said to them, you're going to be the light of the world. An unimpressive group who really had no power, influence, or money. 2,000 years later, the Roman Empire, where is it? It's been gone for hundreds, over 1,000 years ago. And the remnants of the Galilean Christians, I see them right here in front of me. They're listening online. It's the Christian church in the world. How did that happen? God, that's a good answer. Holy Spirit, yes. But God, the Holy Spirit, working through his people who understood that they have a purpose that will last, or things that they can do, a gospel purpose, an impact they can make that will last far longer than their lives. And my friends, that's the same purpose that Jesus calls you to as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for not just changing our lives because of Jesus, but also giving us purpose. I pray that this message, this calling from you in Matthew 5, that it would be something that each and every one of us just think about and consider. How does it look in my life? How do I do good deeds to point people to my Heavenly Father? How can I get involved? Who should I invite? Just allow those things to sit in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I ask you to just continue to bless the gospel work of Faith Church and of your church across the country and world. We We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.